Hey, yo. Welcome to another We Talk Music podcast interview. This time we have Chips Enough, legendary Enough's Enough band, with Mo and Brett. How are you doing today?
I like when I'm announced legendary.
Thank you.
I'll kiss your ass. 30 years in the business.
I'll kiss your ass right now, and then we'll come at you hard later.
That seems weird.
All right, thanks. I'll take it.
Actually, that sounded dirty, so we won't do either one of those things. But, his new album, Strange Time, has just dropped, and, of course, we're going on tour with Enough's Enough to start, February 19th is when you kick off some tour dates?
That's correct. West Coast tour, first run, 8 or 9 cities. We'll be promoting both albums, as a matter of fact. Enough's Enough album, Covered in Gold, which is a whole album full of nothing but influences that we wore proudly on our sleeves throughout the years. Great bands that have stood the test of time, hence the title Covered in Gold. And also my new solo record, which is titled Strange Time.
Yeah, I wanted to know kind of what a set list was actually going to look like for this because, of course, I guess Johnny Monaco will be doing the singing for the Enough's Enough, so like he always does. But how much of it are you going to be doing the lead singing? How many songs from this, your solo album?
Probably not a lot on the solo record. Record just came out on Tuesday. And let's face it, we're promoting this as an Enough's Enough tour. So I think most of the people that are going to come out and attend the shows are going to want to hear those songs. That being said, a potpourri of material throughout our career, playing a lot of songs that we haven't really performed much in concert, along with the hits. So I think it'll be a great night. I love the set list. It's new, it's fresh, it's innovative. And then a solo record would be something a little different, I think, where I'd go out and it would probably be some other players.
So what made you want to do a solo record right now?
I really didn't want to. I was just writing songs. Pretty simple. I'm here in Chicago, Illinois. So I have a little recording studio. I call it by my name. Bands are coming here all the time. I'm always producing records. I like to help out the new artists that are up and coming. And I decided to take a little time out and lay at night and record little things. And one thing led to another. Before you know it, I built this animal. And I felt really good. It was almost like I discovered serendipity, a moment of clarity. And I just started putting the songs together and I realized I had a lot of good musician friends that I'd like to ask to come on down and maybe cameo on the album. Hence, I was able to get picked up Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses. We did a bunch of tracks last year, along with Robin Zander from Cheap Trick and Dale Bazzio from Missing Persons. Great bands have collectively sold over 100 million records. And I played the songs for some friends, and everybody said, man, this stuff sounds great. It's nothing like Enough's Enough. It really isn't. I mean, there's similarities. It's my band for 30 years, since I've been a little kid. But I took a little different approach on this record, and I really showed a lot of my influences. And you hear some of these songs, it doesn't sound anything like what I would do, really. But that's what came out. We recorded everything in a major studio for the basics on 2-inch. So a nice analog recording with all the instrumentation. And I went over to a digital domain and started singing some stuff. And one thing led to another. And here we are with this 15-song record. It was just going to be 10 songs. The record company heard the stuff I did with Steven Adler and said, hey, why don't we just put them all together? Yeah, nice little solo record, especially in this day and age. Want to get people as much material as possible. Quite a long record. I probably wouldn't have put together a 15-song record with Enough's Enough. In the past, we used to go in the studio and record as many songs as we could. As a matter of fact, the Strength record, we had 32 songs on it. Record company said, you're crazy. You can't have a double record. It's your second album. Let's cut it down. But since then, we realized that maybe just putting the best stuff on the records in your best interest. And try not to have any filler, but these are the 15 songs that I've come up with and put on this record, and there's a lot more to follow.
I'd like to talk a little bit of some of the composition of some of these songs, if you don't mind. First single is Rockstar. Why'd you pick that as the first single?
Really didn't pick it as the first single. I was in Germany last year. I was playing with Credence again, which is a in CCR without Fogerty. And I was out there for 2 months. Great tour, by the way. I was following around Jethro Tull, actually Ian Anderson. And while I was out there, I was approached by a company that wanted me to shoot a video for one of my songs. And I was in Amsterdam at the time, and I thought it was a perfect song, a perfect place to shoot that song. It's such a wonderful country. You can walk around it in 2 days. It's so small. Great players out there. You got all them coffee shops, and which is our pot houses, basically, and red light districts. It's very, very promiscuous, but provocative at the same time. And the camera crew shot me a couple days out, hanging out, walking around Amsterdam. And we just looked at the video and said, "Hey, well, we got some stuff on video here. Let's do this song." It wasn't intended to be the first single. If I would have put a first single on this record, it would probably be the one I did with Adler, with Slash. Has got a sample solo on it. It's called, and Dale Bozzio is also singing on it. It's called "Tonight We Met, Now We're Gonna F." But unfortunately, all I had was a few songs that I could represent the project, audio and visually, and that's the song. I just fell into place, and it seems to be doing okay. People are checking it out on YouTube right now. And it's a nice little story about a rock star and his life and all the things that are offered to him throughout his career. And those decisions make up the sum of the parts when it comes to at the end of the song. Because rock stars are all hailed and admired, but it's not the gig everybody thinks it is. And if you make the wrong moves, it's pretty difficult to turn things around and get back up. But here I am right now, guys. I'm still standing. And a nice little rock song. If this record can take people away for an hour of their day and get away from all other little things that are happening, it's served its purpose. Let's face it, there's a lot of music out there right now. Some great bands are playing some wonderful stuff. And it's a potpourri of sounds out there right now. Everything goes. And I just wanted to make a record that was a cool stoner rock record that maybe sets itself apart from some of the stuff that's out there right now, because it's pretty cookie cutter as we speak.
Well, we both listened to the album and we both enjoy it. How hard is it to find support then in the industry nowadays for putting out new music?
Well, it's very difficult. We're at a time where there's too much product, not enough demand. Coincidentally, everybody says album sales are up right now. Obviously, artists are putting records out. Everybody wants to get their songs to be heard, and that's the common denominator. Our record companies, management companies, they're all looking for the same thing, and that's the next hit song. And for a band who's not getting a lot of radio airplay, if they can get their music in the hands of some kind of director or producer and get in the movie or a soundtrack or a TV show or a commercial and help brand their stuff, you got a chance. Everybody really is one song away from being in the game. But it's tough for anybody. With social media, it certainly helps reach a lot of people, but how many people have time to go through all that stuff too? Record stores have been down. There's thousands of closed. The mom and pop store is almost considered obsolete. The ones that are out there are flourishing, but it's not many of them. And, you get your Targets, your Best Buys, and, the stores that will put your records out. But I think for the most part, bands have to make a record, and then you have to take it to the street. And if you want to reach any kind of an audience, you got to buy into a tour. That's your best bet. Have a great show, and you possibly could be recognized that way. But if you're just going to make a record and get your music out there and just try to get it out in different social media events, that's another approach to take. For me, I've already got a career. I've been making records for all these years, so it's a little easier for a band like Enough's Enough to get out there and get an Oscar Mayer wiener wagon and travel around the country and hawk your CDs and merchandise and shake hands and kiss babies. For new artists, I think it might be a little bit tougher. But listen, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So you got to get out there and you got to work.
You know, it's definitely a different day and age. I mean, a music video, you talk about the one rock star there on YouTube and how people are finding it. I mean, you don't have to wait for it to be in rotation on MTV anymore. On the other hand, people, they have no incentive to go and find just that one unless they know it's out there. So, I mean, it's a different way to market. And same thing with, we mentioned we listened to your album, but we, you know, I mean, you can get out there and you can listen to it. You know, you can buy it, obviously purchase it through Amazon, the album itself, or you can get it on iTunes. We went through Ardio, and there's Spotify
yeah.
and these type of things. And, you know, it's there. We can listen to it. It's all available. First day of release, unlike something like Netflix, where, you know, movies have to, you have to pay for it for a long time, and it doesn't become streaming for like 6 months down the road that the movie's going to be on Netflix. So, I mean, for musicians, I just wonder how you kind of approach that. Are you into these streaming sites like RDO? Do those work for you, or do you think they're kind of a pain in the ass, or how do you view them?
No, listen, for all artists out there, you better embrace the future, or you guys are in big trouble. So do I like to hear a record on Spotify? Absolutely. I want people to hear the music. All the big artists out there, you talk to them all, I don't care who they are, they're going to say they want to hear their songs. They want people to listen to these tunes. No one's talking about any money at all. Of course you should get paid for your craft. You go buy a cup of coffee or a shot of espresso, it's $5-6. So I don't see why you can't spend a little bit more than that or that amount and buy a record. There's records out there for $5-6 right now. There's no reason why you couldn't buy music that lasts for a lifetime. A cup of coffee is gone in 5-10 minutes. But it's a matter of priorities. Music, obviously, is a big, big, huge part of a lot of people's lives. Most people like music. It's going to be tough out there for anybody that's putting a new record out. However, if you can get it on those social media sites, it'll help elevate your perception.
Excellent. We can go back to the album a little bit. One of the songs, actually the song that I think has stuck with me the most, that just gets in my head, and I've gone back and listened to multiple times. I guess it turned out to be my favorite, is F. Mary Kill. Can you tell me a little bit about the creation of that song?
Yeah, it was on the Howard Stern Show, and of course, the king of all media has got great ideas. He doesn't have time to implement them all, but he's got a little game he plays in a show called F. Mary Kill. And I love the title, and I love what the song was. I love what it was about, the show, which is about, you know, three girls you meet or three guys you meet, whoever, if you're a woman or a man, and which one you marry, sleep with, or slay. And I'm a good friend with Steve Miller, and I love the melody line to Fly Like an Eagle. So I just basically borrowed that melody line, changed the lyrics up a little bit, and used it as a storyline. And just, we credit all three of us as a songwriter on it. And it's a nice song that is pretty aggressive for that record, but it's a great melody. And I think it feels real nice in the record. And those guys are tickled pink to have a song published out there, all of us together. And I'm going to shoot a video for that one, as a matter of fact, next week here in Chicago. So that'll be a single on the record. What I'd like to do on this album, by the way, is a video for each song. I think that's going to be the wave of the future, where a band puts a 10-song record out and there's 10 videos.
How do you manage to afford 10 videos for 10 songs?
Very carefully, my friend. I have some good buddies in the business. My old manager, Bob Brigham, runs a company called PRG Nocturne. They're the biggest production company around the world. And they do every single band from McCartney down to Foo Fighters. And between them and some of my other friends, Dave Stecker, who also works with McCartney, I'll get these guys to come out in a day and shoot a song. And we'll put them together. It's one by one. It takes time. Didn't build Rome in one day. But I think there's some nice ideas. I think people sometimes would like to see a video with the song as opposed to just listening to the music. At least that's how it is for this generation. In my generation, we just all want to hear a song. When you turn a radio on, or you put a record on a turntable, or you put a CD in, you don't see chicks shaking their asses in hair and smoke machines and all the things that we like to enjoy watching. You just hear the song and the music. So there's a beauty to that as well. I just think with the social media nowadays, a video for every single song would be the way to go. And artists already beat me to the punch. I knew that years ago. I had this idea, but budgets were ridiculous. You spend $100,000 a video. But nowadays, artists like Beck are a perfect example. Put a 10, 15 song record out and have a video for each song. It seems to help drive up the perception.
So we've talked to other bands, and one of the things is that they have fans who are actually making videos for them. And so they're kind of, you know, giving them permission to let the fans do that. Is that something that you'd consider?
Sure. If somebody had a video and I thought it was interesting, I would do that as well. It's a nice idea, and it's good for the directors. Obviously, those cats aren't making a Brinks truck full of money at that. They're just doing these videos because they want to be recognized. But it starts everything, and I think there's some really good producers and directors out there, and they're just looking for content. So, no, it's a nice idea, and I've had people come and approach me as well. I've tried it like that, and I didn't have the same success as some of the artists that you might know. That being said, it's not a bad idea, and I keep my eyes and ears open to everything. I got to be honest with you. And if somebody came to me and had something real nice to show that would fit with the song, even if I wasn't in the video, I'd definitely consider it.
Now, you mentioned Howard Stern. Howard brings you up. I'm a big fan of him. I listen to him pretty much every day. And he brings you up occasionally still to this day, you know, say, hey, we haven't seen Chip in a while or anything. Are you going to try and get in the studio and promote the album with him?
Yeah, I am. That's one of the guys in this business where he doesn't turn his back on his friends. I go back with him when he first started on WGN, he had the TV show. And he's always been a big fan of Enough's Enough. We've had great times together doing the Dial-A-Date shows. I've probably been on that show a dozen times. I was on a couple of years ago with Adler with Steven's book, Appetite for Destruction. He's a big catalyst because when usually in the past when Enough's Enough would go on Stern, before that we'd do Letterman. And that'd be a nice story. But the last couple of times I've been on the show, I just went in there cold and called him up. Ron, the limo driver, came running down, grabbed me, nothing but hugs and love, and got on the show. And Gary says you got 10 minutes, and I was on for 2 hours. So I think the guys are terrific over there, and they really can help.
I got to ask you, is Ronnie in real life like he is on the air then?
Absolutely. He's great.
That's
you
what
know,
I
he set me
hear.
Up last time Enough Snuff was in New York. We were out there with White Lion, believe it or not. We were traveling on the same bus together, no budget. We figured both bands going there to help us take care of the cost that were incurred during the tour. And after I did Stern show, Ryan Limo Driver called up one of the strip clubs and set us up there. And I bring like 9-10 people with me. It was unbelievable. What a night. Burned the candle at both ends all night. And he is so beloved out in the East Coast. I think he frequents those clubs all the time because they certainly took care of us. Our liquor bill was a couple $1,000 and they just scratched it. So I thought it was a very nice Orion to set us up. And those cats are salt of the earth to me. They provide a great service. Everybody gets up in the morning and listens to that show because, quite frankly, there's not a better interviewer in the business than Howard Stern. He's got great guests on there. He pulls out stuff that you normally wouldn't get out of somebody because you walk in there and you're very concerned about how he's going to portray you. But at the end of the day, it's all good. He reaches millions of people, and it's just nice to know there's a couple of guys out there that haven't turned their back on us, and he's one of them.
Well, you know, one of the things that that I just want to say overall is that, you know, we've been listening to you for, you know, 25 years. And, I mean, I will stand up and voice my support for you guys, you know, until the end of your career, until the end of my career, you know. And so I just want to thank you, firstly, for continuing to do what you do. But
thank you. If it wasn't for guys like you, who's going to know about us?
But I want to ask, so, like, you know a lot of people. You've been through a lot here. So, you know, what is it then? Have you changed, you know, from the beginning of your career to now in your attitude?
It's pretty simple, okay? Be grateful for what you get. As I said earlier, luck is the resin of design. You're lucky to have a chance to be in this career. There's so much out there. It really gets caught. You get caught in the shuffle. And for a band that's come out, Enough's Enough worked for the first 5 years playing those in the clubs, opening for bands like BTO and Cheap Trick, and then finally got discovered. And after 5 years of working really hard in clubs, playing shows for no money, finally got a little bit of a break, seen some chipping pools, had a couple hits, and went around. And then when things died down, you chase the carrot. That's what it basically is, and keep trying to work as hard as you can, come up with great songs, recording, find the time to do all this stuff. It's a lot of sacrifice, and you have to leave your family and friends behind a lot of times and really focus on the task at hand, which is making some good music. And for bands that are already successful, like Enough's Enough, you find yourself, it's a lot difficult, a lot more difficult getting back into the game. Because you've already happened. You've already been a success. They're looking for the next new big thing. The business is geared up toward kids. And you just got to be strong and tough. And there's nothing else you can really do. It's very gratifying for a band who's fallen to get back up and to make it happen again. And I see a lot of my friends who went for years and years with no recognition whatsoever, and they found a movie or a soundtrack, something that was out there, and they found themselves busy working and doing what they love doing best, which is making music. So there's opportunities out there, and you just really you can't stop looking and being positive. You can't be a pessimist in this business. By that being said, you still got to understand that, listen, this you don't know when you're going to get your next chance, so you're going to be ready.
I mean, we've seen so many people over the years with great talent. You know, you can sit there, you can put out a great album, you can show up on Letterman and kick ass, you can be on Howard Stern, and yet you still don't seem to get enough airplay or radio play and recognition or album sales. And sometimes doing good music just isn't enough. So I suppose you have to find your victory somewhere else.
Well, listen, most of the guys I know that that had a little success to being in and then fell off the radar, they just got out of the business. They just didn't want to do it anymore. And Rick Nielsen said to me, Chip, we're built to do this. This is what we do. We have to be ready to go at all times. And that's my motto is don't stop. Don't give up.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you something actually kind of off the radar here, I suppose, a little bit, just because there's somebody that you knew that I was a huge, huge fan of, and I've missed every day since his passing, and that's Janie Lane. Can you tell me a little bit of your relationship with him?
Yeah, Janie, a wonderful singer, great songwriter. We were friends in the early days. We crossed paths on tour. We actually toured with, I did the last big tour with Warrant, actually. It was 2002. It was Poison, Quiet Riot, who's got a new documentary out now on Showtime. Warrant and Enough's Enough was the opening act. Playing nothing but Sheds and Arenas, 20,000 people a night. They nailed it every single day. He was real good on a tour. We had to lock the buses up. Nobody in the bands were allowed to come on our bus except for Poison. They kept everybody away from what they dubbed us as the Green Submarine, or the Yellow Submarine, I should say. Should have been called the Green Submarine. And everybody came over to the bus every day, and we'd be cranking up Stone Temple Pilots and Marilyn Manson loud, and there'd be 30 chicks in the bus, and it was just everybody's drinking and smoking and taking pills. It was a great time, I gotta tell you. And Janie wasn't allowed to come on the bus, and one day he came over to hang out with me. I let him on the bus, and the management company told me, Chip, if we see Janie on the bus again, you guys are off the tour. He's not allowed. He's got this is a clean tour. All the buses are real clean. I said, we're clean. Come on the bus. It looks nice. He goes, no, I mean clean with no substance abuse, no alcohol, no nothing. I said, oh, well, you better keep him away from our bus then. But then a couple of years after that, he came down to Chicago, and I was with a friend of mine. His name is Billy Dior. He plays in a band called The Malls. He was doing a book under his real name, Billy McCarthy, called The Devil of Shakespeare. And he asked me to write the song for him for the book, one song for the book, and the CD would be inserted into the book. People can get the music. And we got JY from Styx to come on down and play with us on the track. And Janie Lane was hired to sing the vocal. He came down at midnight, flew into Chicago, came down at midnight, sang on The Devil of Shakespeare. A couple of takes, that was it. As soon as he opened this trap, you could hear Cherry Pie. Beautiful pipes. He's a great, great singer, I'll tell you that right now. And it was fun to go in there and sing those harmonies with him, too. And we just bashed out the song in one night, and then I didn't see him for a while. And a week before he passed away, I was on PCH in Los Angeles. I was out doing a record with Adler from Guns N' Roses, and he pulled up at a light and see me. Hey, dude, what's happening? I said, Janie, how are you? Let's get together soon. He goes, I'd love to see you. Call me. And he split, and a week later, he's gone. So we ended up playing the benefit for him at Key Club in Los Angeles, and everyone showed up to play to pay homage to Janie. And we opened with Let It Be. I seen people out in the crowd crying. And it was a very touching event. His brother was there. We ended up playing a couple of different songs, but I know that one of his favorite songs was he loved the Beatles. And that's one of the reasons he probably loved Enough's Enough, because of the similarities in style. And, you know, the guys still are out there playing right now and recording his songs. And I think it's wonderful that his legacy stays. And he left an indelible mark in the music business. A great songwriter, sold 20, 30 million records. I'm sure that his family's real proud of him. I miss him.
Yeah, I do too. As I say, and for my entire life, as I kind of watched his change, I mean, I first saw him when I was 15 years old, went to a concert, and that was him. It was my favorite band then. And as he kind of matured and his music changed and he went through things, it seemed almost parallel kind of things in my life and what I was going through. And so I felt part of his journey. I really wish they had, I mean, I know it's on YouTube. I've seen your performance of Let It Be. I didn't know you did The Devil of Shakespeare, because that song is also available on YouTube. And, I love that song. I mean, I really wish they had put together some sort of DVD for his fans to be able to record something for the fans from that night, from that memorial show. It would have been something that would have been valued in my collection, that's for sure.
Yeah, so many great musicians came out and played that night. It was just a really touching event. And afterwards, everybody went over to the Rainbow and stayed up until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, just hanging out there, just talking, telling stories about all the great things that they did as a band. Because let's face it, that band started on Sunset Strip. They played those clubs. They went out there and hustled and put flyers up on their own. And it was a whole different scene back then. Of course, no internet. They just really hustled it. And those songs are great songs. The band made some strong records. Michael Wagner was the producer, I think, on that early stuff. And he's absolutely terrific. I've seen him work with Skid Row and did stuff with Ozzy Osbourne. That guy's got great chops and a wonderful set of ears. You know, it's sad that we lose our comrades early in life sometimes. It's a tough business.
So was it harder to get a start, say, not being on the Sunset Strip?
No, I don't think so. Record companies don't care where the band's from. We didn't know that back then, but it's the truth. And you can ask any labels out there, any A&R people, they'll tell you that we don't care where the music's coming from. We'll go see it anywhere. But L.A. obviously was a hotbed. But New York, people were signing bands out of New York and signing them out of Atlanta. So people were getting deals, and Chicago was no different. Chicago's always had like a curse where every 5-10 years a band will be discovered. You know, before us, you know, you had the Styx and Cheap Trick. And before then, that was Chicago. And then after that, then we had Enough's Enough and Urge Overkill, and then Disturbed and Plain White Tees and Fall Out Boy. So everything goes in cycles here in Chicago. And some bands get an opportunity, then they're able to answer the bell, and other ones just fall a little bit short. But Chicago's always been a good place for entertainment. There's some great studios out here, and there's terrific musicians. I think that maybe it was in our favor to be from Chicago. The record companies are just looking for action anywhere. And it just so happened that it was right in the backyard. New York came to Chicago, came, seen the band, loved it, signed us, rest is history. And for any bands that are listening to this, record companies don't care where you're from. Like I said earlier, management companies and record companies, the common denominator is where's their songs, who's got the hits. That's all they care about.
Well, Chip, we don't want to take any more of your time. You know you're busy. You have another band coming in. There's studios there, and you're going to do some work with them and, you know, put out some more great music, I'm sure. We'd love to put a song on the end of the podcast here from either this album or from Covered in Gold. By the way, I got to say, Covered in Gold, it's also great, and some unique choices on there. I love your version of Yankee Rose.
Thank you.
That's kicking ass. But yeah, I mean, could we have your permission to put a song on? And if so, which one would you like?
Well, on the Covered in Gold record, you can pick anything you want, whatever you like. It's fine with me. They're all cover songs, and it's all bands that we grew up and loved throughout our career. Except that our mom and dad's basically turned us on to bands much older than we are, but left an indelible mark. And so if you like the Beatles or you like Prince or Queen, Cheap Trick, they're all on there. Bowie, the solo record I just had out, of course, Rockstar is the song right now, the video, but you want to play something off that I really like, Tonight We Met. That's a strong one. It's a great little rock track. It's a little college anthem. You know, you can't say to a girl those words, but you can say it to her in a sing song. And I Dale Basio, and I got Dale Basio from Missing Persons singing that too. So how cool is that? Destination Unknown, or What Are Words For? She's on some smash hits, played with Frank Zappa. So we got Adler Killing on the drums on it. You got the Slash solo. That's the one I would pick, actually. But any song, doesn't matter who. Who cares who drives the bus at this point? I just want to get to the picnic.
Excellent. You and Steven Adler certainly have some. I hope you do some more music in the future, because there's great chemistry there. You can tell slightly changed pace when it gets to those bonus songs, but then your own stuff there. But it's really strong. So.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I love working with Adler. The guy's a great writer. He's on those Guns N' Roses songs. It's not just him playing drums. He co-wrote those songs with the band. And it's no different with my record here. Adler's on those tracks with me. I'm real proud of it. And he's got a new art collection that's out right now called 50. So if anybody wants to check that out, he's got some incendiary stuff he did with Bill Ward from Black Sabbath is also on there. And I think Vinny Appice is on there, Carmen Appice. I know there's a lot of great drummers that have contributed to this art collection. So it's called 50, Steven Adler. And you want to see anything he's doing. Plus, he's got a new record coming out with his other band. So he's been doing very well, and it's nice to have this record out and a peace of mind, some closure, and maybe in the future we'll do some more stuff together. But right now I'm just focusing on Strange Time.
Excellent. Final words, anything, last things you want to say to the listening audience?
Yeah. Worry is your answer if you like your wrinkles faster. Nursing all things, make them last the way we dated in the past.
That is awesome. Chips Enough, thank you so very much for your time. We totally appreciate it. And, wow, you're awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We hope to talk to you again sometime.
Great talking to you guys. I wish you guys both well. I'll see you when we come through town in June on the Quiet Riot Tour.
Awesome. Yeah,
we'll absolutely be there.
Thank you, guys. Peace.
Thanks a lot. See you.
Yeah. Whoa. She's beautiful. Yeah, I'm talking about Yankee Rose. Little bit, little bit, little bit high.